Thursday.
Amen.
We're just getting warmed up.
Yeah.
I'm excited about
Amen.
This.
Me too.
Amen. This could get addictive. Amen. And, you know, we get all these thanks for coming down here and making ministry. I'm going to tell you something. I think we get more out of this than y'all do. I mean, we're praying and studying, and that helps us too, but just... The Bible says iron sharp with iron, and there's some iron down here, and we're getting some sharpening. And that'll help us as we go on our way to other churches. And so thank you for what you do for us. And we're going to take it to Staten Island in a couple of weeks. And
amen.
We'll be fired up, ready to go. Amen. All right, where's she at? Oh.
Okay. This is so strange. Okay. I'm having a problem.
I can't help you on that guitar.
If you're walking through the valley, there are shadows all around. Do not fear, he will guide you, he will keep you safe and sound. He has promised to never leave you, nor forsake you, and his word is true, God is good. All the time, he put a song of praise in his heart of mine, God is good. Time through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good, God is good all the time. We were sinners and so unworthy, still for us he chose to die, filled us with his Holy Spirit. Now we can stand and testify that his love is everlasting and his mercies, they will never end. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in his heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. Though I may not understand all the plans he has for me, my life is in his hands, and through the eyes of faith, I can clearly see God is good. The time he put a song of praise in his heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. Whoops. All the time. Try that chorus again, not because I messed up, but we were going to anyway. Try it again. God is good. Help us out. All the time, he put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good. He's so good. I mean, we do all right some days, but we're not, nobody's batting 1,000 except the Lord Jesus Christ. He's good all the time. That's why we're here in his name. That's why we sing about him. That's why we preach about him. That's why we worship him. A guy, I wouldn't last it very long in any place that put a man up there. Amen. And but it's him, the man Christ Jesus. Okay, thank you.
Amen.
You're dismissed. Actually, that song was requested, and I didn't know when we were supposed to sing it, but God showed me today. So take your Bible and go to Psalm 107. Tonight. Now I'm going to throw out a prayer request because Brother Eddie and David, and I don't know who else, might be leaving tomorrow to go down and get their stuff. And so I've got a burden to pray for them, and I want to share it with you. I mean, they may or may not have said anything. I'm an evangelist. I get to pray for my dear friends and your fellow church members. All right. All right, before we start reading, I was going through some stuff today, like yesterday with the cowboy thing. I found something else that might be pertinent here. And I've been there, been in July, but I've heard a rumor that it gets hot here. Now, if that's true, then I'll read this. But if it's not true, then I'll save this for, like, I have no idea where. But it does get hot here, right? Sun spends the summer here, I heard. Somebody told me that. I like that winter part. All right, so you know you're in the desert. And if you got any wonderment about where that is, it's due west of here. Amen. Like between here and El Paso. You know when you're in a desert, when you no longer associate bridges with water or even rivers. I mean, I've been over some. They'd say this is a river, and I still never seen it. You know you're in the desert when you can say 110 degrees without fainting. When you eat hot chilies to cool your mouth off. Yeah, you might be in the desert. When you can make instant sun tea to set it outside, I mean. You might be in a desert if you've learned that a seatbelt makes a pretty good branding iron. When the temperature drops below 95 degrees and you feel a little chilly. Amen. Cool day. Let's go do some yard work. When you discover that in July, it only takes two fingers to drive your car because steering wheel's so hot. You discover that you can get a sunburn through your tinted car window if you're out there long enough. You notice that the best parking place is determined by shade, not distance. Amen. When hot water comes out of both taps. So we get our water, you know, in a motorhome, through our hose, and, you know, so we got a hot water heater, but we get places where it gets so hot, that water's so hot in that hose, it's hot all the time. Amen. And, so, you know, you might be in a desert if it's noon in July, the kids are on summer vacation, and no one is outside playing. Kind of like January in Ohio, amen. When you can actually burn your hand opening a car door, you would never, ever, ever dream of putting vinyl upholstery in a car. Remember that? Amen. This is one I saw in Mesa, Arizona on the side of the road was a pest control sign. And it says the normal stuff, and then it said, and scorpions. I never saw that in Ohio either. Amen. So you might be in the desert. Amen. I'm glad we're in a place that the Lord has provided where we can come together, and it's quite comfortable, by the way, isn't it? Amen. Amen. A lot of people in this world, a lot of Christians in the world would trade places with any of us. Amen. We need to be mindful that we've been blessed beyond measure. Amen. Psalm 107, look with me in verse 8. Psalm 107 in verse 8. And the Bible says this, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Amen. Look at verse 15. The Bible says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Look at verse 21. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." You get the idea that maybe we should make a point to praise the Lord. for His goodness, maybe a little more than we do. That's what a meeting like this does, kind of gets us stirred up a little bit, remind us that, you know, the cares of this life are indeed real and true, but God's still good. Amen. Look with me in verse 31. And it says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. I like to preach tonight on the thought, His wonderful works. Father in heaven, we do come to You again in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Again, it's on my heart to pray for Brother Eddie and Brother David as they go down to Mexico. Keep them safe, I do pray, Lord, and I trust You'll give them opportunities to be the witness that You called them to be. I'm confident of that, but I am asking for an extra measure of safety and mercy. God, I do pray and ask, Lord God, for those that have come this night and other nights. I pray that, God, the Word of God would find a place in their heart and begin to grow. I pray, God, that maybe some of us have turned some of our burdens over to You in these days and look for You to bless in the days to come. Lord God, I don't know the needs of everyone in here tonight, but certainly if there's somebody in here that's not saved, that's what they need to address. And we'll help in any way we can. We'll praise You for doing what only You can do. Lord, I love You tonight, and I pray and ask that everything goes on in here tonight is pleasing to You, glorifying to Your Son. I pray for those that are watching from wherever they're watching from. I don't even think about that, but probably should. Bless them, Lord, for being attentive from their homes to tune into the services, Lord God. I pray You'd feed them spiritually, and I just thank You for saving my wretched soul.
Yes.
And allowing me to come to this place and spend some time with these tried and true tested believers. And I thank You in Jesus' name for all that. Amen and amen. Verse 8 again, I'll read it. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Go over to Psalm 40. You're going to hold your place in Psalm 107 tonight, but just look at Psalm 40 in verse number 5. And it says this, many, O Lord, my God, are Thy wonderful works which Thou hast done, and Thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto Thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Amen. And I'll tell you what, if you could get a hold of that and attempt to number His blessings to you, you're not going to make it, but it would sure offset getting bogged down by the cares of this life.
Amen.
Somebody suggested one time as a young Christian, I heard a preacher say something like, there's a song about count your blessings, and he challenged the people to take a piece of paper and put their blessings in their problem, draw a line down the middle, and start tallying them up. And if you're honest, David, if you're a child of God and you're a little bit honest, you'll realize, I mean, you gotta make a point to do it, but, if you're honest, you'll see that God has blessed you in so many ways and that He blesses us in ways that really, by comparison, the problems, He works us through stuff. Amen. That's what David is saying there in Psalm 40 and verse 5. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Yeah, but it'd still be a good thing to do it. Declare and speak of them every day for the rest of our lives. Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Look at it with me in verse number 4. The Bible says this, we will not hide them from our children. We're talking about His wonderful works tonight. We will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. You know what that is? That's a huge responsibility. Not only did you get in on it, not only should you declare it yourself and be mindful of it, but you're to pass it on. And to pass it on, that goes much deeper than just talking about it. That means you live it in a way that shows the generations to come that you really are serious about appreciating. That's why there's not one kind of Christian on Sunday and another kind on Monday.
Amen.
Because that's, everybody sees through that.
Amen.
Amen. We're talking about His wonderful works. Go back to Psalm 107. We'll look at some things right in that passage tonight. Psalm 107. Get this all situated. And let's look in verse 1. Here it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good."
Amen.
Like we just sang, we're not. He is. We should give thanks unto the Lord that he's good all the time. I know this is hard to believe, and you don't have to confirm it with my wife, but sometimes I wake up and I'm not having a great day, and I always end up taking it out on the person closest to me. Amen. In some way, a little short, a little gruff. I know I'm the only one like that in here. But aren't you glad God never has days like that? Amen. I'm glad he doesn't. Amen. It says in Psalm 135 and verse 3, "Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good." Number one tonight is just a reminder that he is good. "Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant." Hey, isn't it pleasant? To say, I love the song service here. Amen. I love singing those old hymns. They minister to my heart. Amen. And it says in Nahum, when did he get a book? Amen. N-A-M. What did I don't even, where's that? Amen. What is it?
Naaman?
It must be, yeah. I confused that with Naaman. Naaman does not have a book in the Bible. That's okay. I don't mind the Lord humbling me. Amen. Not one bit. Amen. Nahum, chapter 1 and verse, I ought to make you turn there just for laughing at me. Amen. It says this, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble."
Amen.
"And he knoweth them that trust in him." We sang that song last night. He knows my name. Does he know your name?
Amen.
Amen. It ain't because you're a good person or a member of a church somewhere. It's because you put your faith and trust in him. That's what gets his attention. I'm glad he got my attention one day and I called on him. Amen. It said there in verse 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." And it goes on and says, "For his mercy endureth forever." Mercy, again, reminder, is not getting what you deserve. His mercy endureth forever. It says in Psalm 136 in verse 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good."
Amen.
"For his mercy endureth forever." And it says it 26 times in Psalm 136. Every verse ends with, "For his mercy endureth forever." You think the Lord's trying to make a point? Trying to get something through to our hard heads? Amen?
Amen.
And it says in 1 John 1, in verse 7, it says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Beloved, the mercy of God, that if you're saved here tonight, the mercy of God that delivered you from hell.
Amen.
Amen. The mercy of God that cleanseth you from all sin,
amen,
past, present, and future. That mercy endureth forever.
Amen.
That's a big deal. Amen. Now, endure. I looked it up. I want to give you a definition so you think I'm smart. Will it work? I wonder. Endure means to bear. To suffer without yielding. Or to suffer patiently. We're not really famous for it. Amen. And it's getting worse as the generations roll on, I've noticed. But his mercy endureth forever. But he in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 5, Paul told Timothy to endure affliction. We're supposed to endure some things too. We're to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And it goes on and says, "No man of war entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier."
Yes.
Amen. We're to endure hardness. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 7 says, if ye endure chastening, God deals with you as sons.
Thank you, Lord.
It's part of it. Chastens every son. Do you chasten your kids so that they'll learn? Amen. Well, God is the epitome of the loving, gracious, kind Father. And that includes saying no sometimes. Amen. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19, for this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Those are things that are part of the Christian life. From hardness and affliction, if you take a stand for Jesus Christ, to chastening, because we're still human and we need correction, to grief. It's part of it. Amen. I wonder, I got thinking about what God told us to endure, and I wonder about what God endures. So that he can keep the promise that he made 26 times in Psalm 136. What God endures, he endures us in our pride. He endures our greed. Amen. He endures our contentions and our envy and our bitterness. Child of God, God endures covetousness and deceitfulness with his own children. He endures our unkindness when we're not having a good day. He endures unforgiveness. Even though he said, but be kind one to another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You do not have a cause to hold a grudge against anybody, no matter what they've done. Because nobody's ever done anything to you that's compared to what your sin did to Jesus Christ. Amen. And he forgave you. That helps me. Amen. I'm going to tell you what. You know what God endures? He endures our spiritual idolatry. Spiritual idolatry, what is that? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. Anything you put before God, he said in Exodus 20, thou shalt have no other God before me. But I'm preaching meetings all the time, and even 4 and 5 and day meetings, sometimes 6 day meetings, but seems like almost impossible for some Christians to make it to their own meeting every night. And it isn't because they got to work or they're sick. Amen. It's because they got things to do. Might need to mow the lawn or go to the gym or go to a game. Beloved, anything you put before God is idolatry.
Amen.
And there are exceptions, and he knows what they are.
Amen.
But it'd be good if we'd figure it out.
Amen.
Amen. So we're talking about giving thanks unto God, for he is good. Amen. That shouldn't be hard.
Right.
Amen. For his mercy endureth forever. Jeremiah 15. Look at Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah 15. I'll try to slow down a little bit, give you a chance to get to the verses. It may not work, but I'll try. Jeremiah 15, in verse number 6, and it says this, thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord, thou art gone backward. Therefore will I stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee, for I am weary with repenting. That's scary. The truth is, he doesn't, does he? He doesn't stretch out his hand against thee and destroy him. He endures us.
Amen.
Because we're his.
Thank you, Lord.
Because we're his people. And here's why he endures us. Because it says in Psalm 86 verse 15, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth.
Thank you, Lord.
Tell you what, you should be very thankful for his long-suffering and that he is plenteous in mercy then truth. If you're saved in here, you ought to be real thankful of that. If you're in here tonight and you're not saved and you still have a chance to get saved, you ought to be very thankful that God is so long-suffering. God is good. Verse 2. 5 says this, let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Amen.
Amen. Are you saved?
Amen.
That means you, right? You're redeemed. Are you saying so?
Amen.
I mean, we got a squeak an amen out of a congregation anymore, more so than we ever used to. Amen. I wonder if we can't say so in the house of God, what kind of witness we're being out there. Amen. Amen. I had to get that in there, you know. It says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him should not be ashamed.
Amen.
I was in a juvenile detention, maximum security juvenile detention facility in Northern Kentucky a few years back. And I got a group about 20, and a couple of them were saved because the church goes there regular and they get me in once in a while. And I got to preaching, give my testimony, preaching a little bit. You know, okay, every head bowed, every eye closed. And they can't go to an altar. They can't even move out of their seat because they're prisoners. And they have to have correction officers to move a group. I don't know what our excuse is. But they couldn't, so we don't ask them to. And with just the head bowed and eyes closed. Now, I'm not talking about for the 10th time. But if you've never trusted Christ, you might know who he is. You know, might know about him and what he did, but if it's never been made personal, if you never got it into your heart that it was you, they said, forgive them from the cross. If you've never done that, you've never made it real. You want to pray and ask Christ to forgive you.
Yeah,
and I give him a minute. And then I said to these guys, and I do it all the time, but I say, if you did it, you prayed that prayer first time, not to try to convince anybody, but just to make it real and get your name in the book of life. Slip your hand up. Head bowed and eyes closed. Not you guys. Well, you can if you want. It's a good exercise. Are you saved? Raise your hand.
Amen.
All right, put them down. If you're not, raise your hand. Well, thank God for an honest young man. I'm going to talk to your mother, and I'm sure they'll be patient with you. 5 years old, you know. I don't know. I said to those guys, we had about 11 of them raise their hand. Head bowed and eyes closed, raise their hand if they got saved. And I said, okay, put your hand down. I said, look up. Everybody looks up. I said, now, if you're one of them guys that raised their hand just now that you prayed and trust Christ to save you, I want you to stand up. Nobody's looking down. No, I mean, with everybody watching, I said, I want you to stand up. And boy, they are nervous. And one guy, they're looking around at each other to see. My Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord
Amen.
Say so.
Amen.
Amen. And one guy finally stood up. Then another guy stood up. And I think all but maybe two stood up. Amen. And I said, let me tell you something, fellas. If you won't stand up to confess Jesus Christ after you said you prayed that prayer, I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for that little prayer you just prayed. Don't you leave out of here saying you got saved if you don't have the guts to stand up. Amen. I wonder what would happen if we did that in church. No, I don't think we'd have any problem with it in church, but the Bible says... It says in our passage, tonight let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Amen.
Amen. Who's going to if we don't? If the redeemed of the Lord don't say so, this is what will happen. Take your Bible. Keep your place there in Psalm 107, but look over in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. I love this passage. Luke chapter 19, look with me in verse 40. And the Lord speaking, and he answered and said unto them, I tell you that, now this was after the Pharisees told the multitude that had seen the mighty works that he had done, told them to shut up, have them hold their peace. And the Lord answered them and said, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. That's what happens when the redeemed of the Lord don't say so. Because the creation will cry out. The creation is groaning and travailing, waiting for the Lord to come back and take the curse off. Amen. And he says, if you're not going to praise me, the rocks will. Now listen, I have no problem with the rocks crying out.
Yeah.
Amen. The trees, the mountains, I think it'd be great. What a chorus. It would be when the creation again would sing out and praise their creator. Amen. But I don't want no rock, tree. I don't want nobody praising God in my place.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
We were coming out of Flagstaff one year, heading down the mountain, heading toward Needles, California in that bus. And I mean, we're coming down a pretty good grade and talk about desert. Amen. And we're looking at rocks bigger than this building. Amen. Much bigger, some of them. And I'm driving down the road, you know, and I'm thinking, wow. What if all these rocks out here in Arizona started crying out? Oh, that freaked some people out. It wouldn't freak me out. I'd understand it. I'd get to shouting with them. I don't want the creation. I'll join in. They can join in. But if the redeemed of the Lord don't say so, Jesus said, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the rocks would immediately cry out. I don't want to be out shouted by some rock. Amen. Amen. And if these are charismatic rocks, we don't want to be confused with them. Well, Jesus is the one that's promoting them. Amen. Amen. Maybe there's a lesson in there for us. Amen. It's not okay with me if the rocks cry out. Is it okay with you? It shouldn't be unless you think, well, I wish they would. That'd get me off the hook. No, you don't get off the hook. If you're saved, because that's what the passage says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Now, if you're not, you don't have to cry out at all. You can just sit there like a bump on a log and, you know, go your merry way and get excited over your favorite team. I feel sorry for you. We'll pray for you. But I don't think that's the case. I think we just need to be reminded of what the Bible says. Now, listen, there's some things to get excited about. Amen. There's some things to make a stand for. It says in the verse goes down in verse 2, it says, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I wonder if sometimes we forget what we are saved from. And I'm not just talking about hell. I'm talking to the fellas at lunch today. That Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. And listen, if you've got a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that's what salvation is. Right. You've got a personal relationship with the devil. A personal relationship you didn't have before you got saved. He wasn't worried about you. He is going to have all eternity torment you. But now you've got something inside of you that can threaten his future kingdom. You can tell others about Jesus Christ. He hates Jesus Christ. He's no match for him. So what does he do? He picks on what Jesus Christ loved enough to go to the cross for.
Thank you,
amen.
Thank you,
and we've got an enemy. And the problem with this enemy is we're no match for him for sure. But according to Ephesians chapter 6, amen. Let me remind you something. People aren't the enemy. Yeah. It ain't your spouse. It ain't your parents. It ain't your preacher. It ain't a couple across the aisle. It isn't your neighbor, your heathen neighbor that plays his music to whatever the case may be. It's not this lost and dying world. They're not the enemy. Amen. The enemy is spiritual.
Right. It's true.
And the enemy is invisible.
Amen.
That really complicates things.
Yeah.
It says in Ephesians 6 and verse 12, for we, believers, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's who the fight's with, and we can't even see them, let alone redeem ourselves from them. But it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I'm glad God can redeem us out of the hand of the enemy.
Amen.
Talk about wonderful works. We're just bragging on his wonderful works a little bit tonight. I'm glad to be saved. I'm glad to be redeemed. I'm glad I found out who the enemy really was, and I'm glad I don't have to worry about him taking me to hell. But if I don't keep my guard up, amen, he can mess my testimony up if I let him. Amen?
Yeah.
Verse 3. We're in Psalm 107 in verse number 3. I just got hung up on verse 1 one day and how good God is and kept reading and it just kept getting better and better.
Yeah.
Probably could have started last Friday in Psalm 107 and preached it all week.
Yeah.
Amen. But we're going to preach it tonight with a little help from the Lord. A lot of help, actually. Verse 3, it says, and gathered them. Amen. He redeemed them. Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered them out of the lands. From the east and the west. And from the north and from the south. That pretty much covers it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Revelation chapter 14, it says in verse 6, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people." Amen. That means, beloved, that the redeemed of the Lord are exactly that, from every nation and every kindred and every tongue and every people. We forget that sometimes. The everlasting gospel is for everyone. Therefore, believers from every nation, every kindred, every tongue, every people are your brothers and sisters in Christ. Am I reading that right? It's the way it looks to me, and that means for the redeemed of the Lord, the war's over. What war? Well, not the spiritual battle, but the civil war's over. Well, I go places that it isn't. Amen. Real quiet right there. Let me tell you, how about the race wars?
Amen.
There's race wars raging in this country. Child of God, the war's over, man.
Amen.
You don't participate. Amen. The religious wars are over. God saved people out of every religion.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something else. The personality wars are over too. Say, well, they're not my cup of tea. Well, you might not be there. So what is that, God? You keep, let me remind you, it's not about you.
Amen.
It's about Him.
Amen.
And He shed His blood to make the everlasting gospel available to, from the east and the west and the north and the south, all the whole world.
Amen.
I like that. Amen. Listen, I spent my time in the clubs. And the feds called it a gang, but we called ourselves a club. I did that. When I got saved, I didn't join another club or clique or social organization. I got in on the most phenomenal thing on the planet.
Amen.
The body of Christ.
Amen.
And that includes anybody and everybody, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Are you saved?
Amen.
Let me see them hands again.
Amen.
Well, that's you. That's you. And even those of you that didn't squeak your hand up that time, I saw you. Amen. And verse number 4. I mean, God is worthy of praise.
Amen.
Amen. Not just for saving us forever, but for His wonderful works. It says in Psalm 8 in verse 4, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" I remember the first time, and it's not the last, but I remember the first time I heard a message preached, and that verse came up, and at the end of the message, of course, a lot of it I didn't, but I mean, I went up and I got right by the base of the pulpit at the altar of our old little church in Beaver Creek, Ohio, and I'm weeping, and I'm thinking, what is man that God is mindful, His mind is full of us? I was reminded in the course of the message of all my faults and failures and what Jesus Christ had to do on the cross just to make a way for me to be washed in that blood.
Amen.
And then He's mindful of us. He thinks about us. He cares about us. I mean, on a regular basis. And I got a little overwhelmed by that thought. And it helped me. It helped me in my walk to try to be mindful, more mindful of Him. Amen. It says in verse 4, "They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in." And wandered. I mean, they didn't know where they were going. And that's the term we use for lost. Amen. And the Bible says to the church there at Corinth, second epistle, verse 4, said, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." If you're saved here tonight, you know what he's talking about when he says our gospel. It's the gospel that saved us. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we can come into church, but if the redeemed of the Lord don't say so out there in the mission field, amen. It doesn't start at the river. It starts at the door.
Amen.
Amen. If we don't say something, guess what? The lost just stay lost. When Christians are reluctant to speak up, amen.
Yeah.
Well, the danger is the lost just stay lost. And I got to say it, if you're in here tonight, and maybe you snuck your little hand up and maybe I didn't see, but I'm here to tell you, and I speak the truth and love, if you're in here tonight and you've never been saved, you're lost. Right now, and you may know that your address, your GPS might have got you here. Amen. But for eternity's sake, you don't know where you're going. You're lost. The Bible says you're lost. Amen. It said there they wandered in the wilderness. Wilderness is a rough place. It's a dangerous place. You know, in the wilderness, there's beasts and robbers and exposure. It's a dangerous place. It says in Numbers 33 and verse 11, and they removed from the Red Sea and encamped in the wilderness of Sin. I wandered there myself for a long time without hope and without God.
Yeah.
And you can make a lot of noise and you can pretend you're having fun. But it's the loneliest place there is. Amen. I haven't been lonely since I met Jesus Christ. And I met him in jail. Amen. But I wasn't alone anymore. And since I got out, I make a point to be around God's people as much as I can. And I that because I enjoy God's people. But when I get in that bus and if I have to go somewhere without her, I'm still not alone. Amen. I'll give you a side note here. Proverbs 21 and verse 19 said it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Isn't that an interesting analogy? That dangerous place, the wilderness, would be better. My Bible says that God is not happy with strife. The Bible says let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. We're human and we have issues and we butt heads and we have problems because, amen, we may be saved by grace, but we're sinners by nature. And by the grace of God, we need to get that stuff worked out. God forbid somebody would rather live in the jungle than at home with a contentious spouse. I told you it was a side note. It was in there for free. Amen. I just thought I'd throw that in there. That verse meant a lot to me at one time in my Christian life. All right, verse 5. Hungry and thirsty.
Yes.
These are those wanderers. And it says hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. We know the body gets hungry and thirsty often. Not mine and Sue's, because your graciousness has had us somewhere to eat every single day. We live like kings. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But I never thought about it really that according to the passage, the soul gets hungry and thirsty too. Galatians chapter 5 verse 17 says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Amen. And we're discussing it at lunch today. We feed that flesh much more than we feed the spirit. I mean, I'm trying to do the numbers. I'm not a math guy. But if you ate three times a day and a half hour a day, what's 7 times 3.5? Somebody help me out. Was that even right? If you ate, hour and a half a day. Hour and a half a day, right? Breakfast, lunch, dinner. 7 days a week. Do the math. 3.5 times 7. Come on. 21 plus about 3.5. What is it?
10.5
How many?
10.5
So, I guess I should have just kept my mouth shut. I could have said anything. Nobody would even know. Now I'm curious. Don't pull your phones out, please. What is it? 10.5 22.5, we spend 22.5 hours a week eating? No wonder I feel this way. What I'm saying is this. I know I should have left it alone. I knew it. Hold on. I'm crossing all that out in case I ever feel. Let me go with something I can do. We spend more hours a week sleeping.
Right.
Let's say 7 hours if you get 7. Amen. If you get Billy's age, you only get 5 and a half, and if you're older, it gets worse. Trust me. Amen. But if you slept 7 hours a night for 7 days, how many would that be? 7 times 7, 49. How many hours you spend in church if you're faithful to every service? 3 on Sunday, 1 on Wednesday, round in 4. We spend, what the flesh lusts to get the spirit. What am I saying? I should have left that alone. We feed the flesh way more than we feed the spirit, which means you skip a service or you skip a day reading your Bible or you skip a day of prayer. How is your spirit going to have that spiritual nourishment it needs to counter all the time we spend in the flesh? Amen. Amen. Spirit of God is nourished through the Word of God.
Amen.
And the Bible says preaching is the Word of God. It's important. Preaching is the power of God. It's important. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Fumbled through that one, but we're now at verse 6. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of all their distresses.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, too bad they didn't cry out until they were hungry. Amen. That's like we are, you know. We wait till we just can't deal with it, whatever it is, anymore. And then we cry out. But when they did, I guess it doesn't matter. He heard them. He answered them. He delivered them. Psalm 40 and verse 1 said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. You know, Lord's leaning our way. He said He inclined unto me. I know that after me taking His name in vain for 30 years, and then that morning in that jail cell, I said, Lord Jesus, I'm wondering, was that Spurgeon? I never heard Him say my name in any kind of reverent way. I think He leaned in to make sure. I'm being facetious. But He delivered me that day. Amen. He brought me up all out of a horrible pit. Amen. Now, one day He heard my cry for help. Has He heard yours? And I'm not just talking about the day you got saved. Amen. Do you realize that you can call upon the Lord, that He wants you to call on Him? That the Lord's more interested in you relying on Him than leaning on your own understanding and all that? Psalm 107 verse 13 says He saved them out of their distresses.
Yes.
Has He ever done that for you?
Amen.
Or are you trying to work it out on your own?
Amen.
That's why it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. But we do.
Amen.
And then we come to the end of ourselves, and then we say, God, I've tried everything else. I need your help. And He's like, really? Why do you do that? Why do we as children of God try to play some game or pretend everything's all right when God's saying, come, man, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden? And sometimes in this life, we do labor and we get heavy laden. Sometimes it's our fault. Sometimes it's just because we're in this world. But God says, all right, I'm still the answer.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Why do we trust Him with our eternal soul and then are so reluctant to trust Him with our day-to-day life?
Amen.
Well, that's just, I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know the answer to it. I'll know one day. Verse 7 there in Psalm 107 said, and He led them forth by the right way. That's what He wants to do. Hey, there's a right way and there's a wrong way. Proverbs 14 and verse 12 said, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's the wrong way. Amen. The way that seems right, amen, unto man is the wrong way. Matthew 7 and 14 says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Somebody asked me one time, how narrow is it? I'll tell you how narrow it is. It's one man wide. That's how narrow it is. Stand up, Robert. Please. The Bible says straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and the way that leadeth unto life is one man wide. The width of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's single file behind Him. That's why it's narrow. That's why it's straight. Thank you, brother. And it says, few there be that find it. Thank God for the Marine Corps, the few. But the most elite few that's ever been on this planet is you if you're saved. Because most people don't get it. Verse 13 backs that up. Amen. You've heard the expression, straight and narrow. Now you know where it came from. Right out of the King James Bible, Matthew chapter 7.
Amen.
The right way is still straight and narrow. And then the verse finishes, verse 7 finishes with that they might go to a city of habitation. And the right way, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, leads to an everlasting celestial city in heaven,
Amen.
New Jerusalem. And the wrong way, which is trusting in anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ, leads to an everlasting lake of fire. Shouldn't be a hard choice. That lake of fire, there's not rejoicing around the throne of God and giving honor and glory to Him who's worthy to sit on the throne. It's a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, tormented in flame. And if you can add insult to injury, everybody there knows that Christ went to the cross to keep them out.
Amen.
And they all had their reason for not getting it. I'm glad I got it. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I hope you are. Let me ask you as I wrap this up, where are you going when you die?
Amen. Amen.
Not if.
Right.
When.
Amen.
You're going.
That's true.
You're going somewhere. You ain't staying here. Your body's going to end up wherever it ends up. But your soul's going up or down. And it all hinges on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It said in verse 8 there, oh, the men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. You know the most wonderful work that God ever did was to make a way for our sins to be forgiven. The most wonderful work that could ever have been accomplished was Jesus Christ going to the cross for us.
Amen.
That's what salvation is. It's faith in what He did on the cross. It ain't religion, it ain't turning over a new leaf, and it ain't doing good. It's staying mindful of the sacrifice. It says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him.
Amen.
If you're not saved in here, you need to be. And the Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I guess that might be rhetorical, because you won't. There is no way to escape an everlasting lake of fire if you neglect. You know, it doesn't say reject. Bless God, I don't care. I was at the post office today, and I'm getting ready to leave, and a guy pulled in next to me, and he had a sticker on the back of mine says, Jesus Saves, on my Jeep, on the front and the back. And he had a sticker on the back of his car, and it said, I already know I'm going to hell. Is that one of y'all's neighbors? Is that, because he lived next? Because somebody's witness to that guy. He don't want to be. He already knows he's going to hell. I just shook my head. Amen. I'm glad I'm not going to hell.
Yeah,
and he's going to wish he'd have gotten saved too someday. Amen. But nobody's going to escape if there's a reject. There's a accept. But the verse says neglect. And like I preached the other night, some people think, yeah, I need to do something there. I need to take care of that before I die. You better believe it.
Yeah.
Man, I'd encourage you to take care of it sooner than later.
Right.
Amen. If you are saved, and maybe you're struggling with that flesh, I don't know how you can be alive and not. Amen. But if you're struggling with that flesh, you're having a hard time in some area of your life trying to stay on track, you need to get that straightened out. You can. Again, I recommend, well, you got to go to the Lord. I recommend an old-fashioned altar. It's nothing magic about it, but it sure helped and blessed me through the years. But wherever you get honest with God, I don't care if you get on the roof, but you need to get honest with God somewhere and say, Lord, I need You. I need Your help. I'm fighting a battle. I've got something going on. I'm saved. I love You. I've done the best I can, but I've got sorrow. I've got grief. I've got challenges. And He's saying, like, okay, I know. That's why I did more. I didn't just save you and go to heaven and He's never leave, never forsake. Why aren't we taking advantage of that?
Amen.
Let's all stand.
Amen.
Oh, now let me see. I want to read the verse right. It said there over and over and over in Psalm 107, the verse 1. Let me get it. I get ahead of myself. Verse number 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord.
Amen.
For His goodness.
Amen.
That's a no-brainer. Because He's good all the time.
Amen.
And for His wonderful work to the children of men. Four times that exact wording is repeated in one verse. Ain't God trying to get His point across?
Yes.
Did He? Did He get a point across? Should we be praising the Lord? Let's all stand. Let's think about what was said. Praise the Lord for his wonderful work. That doesn't mean we don't have challenges. We do. That's why we need to get him in on it.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Preacher?
Praise the Lord Jesus.